Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the deadliest natural flash flood, non-dam-related flash flood, that has ever happened in the United States of America ever. It happened in a little town called Heppner. Tiny Willow Creek became a wall of water, swept away a third of the town, killed 247 people. It was a very bad day. One out of every six Heppner residents died that day. The story was first published on April 19th, 2010, under the headline, America's Deadliest Natural Flash Flood Happened in Heppner. Here's the story. Oregon doesn't have to deal with a hurricane season or regular tornado warnings or golf ball size hail or anything like that. But a town in north central Oregon was the scene of a monster flash flood a little over 100 years ago, a flash flood that killed at least 247 people. The town of Heppner is located in a small, tight valley that drains into the Columbia River. In 1903, it was home to just under 1,500 people. At the bottom of the valley, a tiny and innocuous little stream runs down to the river. This is Willow Creek. It's ankle deep for most of the year and runs dry sometimes in the late summer. On June 14, 1903, the creek looked perfectly normal. The sky, though, did not. It was rapidly darkening, and soon it unleashed a torrent of rain and hail on the town. Witnesses said they couldn't hear each other speak, and everyone ran inside to get out of it. This may be why the flood was so deadly. Not only were almost all residents of Heppner in their houses when it happened, but the rattle of the hail masked the roar of the wall of muddy water and trees and boards and cattle and sheep and other flotsam that was hurtling down the canyon toward the village. Witnesses said the wall of water was 40 to 50 feet high, which seems very unlikely. Engineers afterwards claimed it was 6 feet high, which also seems very unlikely. In any case, a wall it was, and it picked up dozens of occupied houses and swept them downstream. When it was all over, a third of the town was gone, and many other houses were full of mud and debris from the high water. Most of the residential area of town was gone, and the business district was badly damaged. Immediately after the disaster, two Heppner residents, Leslie Matlock and Bruce Kelly, took off on horseback, racing the floodwaters in a bid to get to Lexington and Ione, which were further down the canyon. The flood had put the telephone and telegraph lines out of service and damaged the railroad line, too, so it was the only possible way to warn the downstream towns. The riders had to stop along the way to cut their way through barbed wire fences, and when they got to Lexington, it was just a few minutes too late. But the floodwaters were slowing down and thinning out, and the two riders passed the crest on the way to Ione and arrived in time to give the warning. As far as I've been able to learn, no one was killed in either of the other two towns. Among those who were caught in the torrent, survivors were few. One lucky family rode downstream in their submerged house up to their necks in water and were able to escape when it fetched up against another structure, but for the most part, those caught in the flood drowned. Incidents like this are one of the reasons that a certain amount of skepticism is indicated for the theory that the wall of water was only 6 feet high. When it was all over, the survivors in Heppner had an awful job ahead of them. A quote from the Portland Oregonian, reprinted in Den Auden's article in the Oregon Historical Quarterly, sums it up. Quote, "Scenes at Heppner are indescribable in their gruesomeness, their anguish, their awful desolation. No pen can exaggerate the horrors they present. Every heap of debris may contain a human forming decomposition. Many do reveal such spectacles when uncovered, and meantime, Willow Creek, as if to mock the dead, has returned to a purling brooklet."
This tiny town had, in an hour or so, experienced the worst non-dam-related flash flood disaster in U.S. history, before or since, as measured by deaths. The official count was 247 killed, roughly one out of every six Heppner residence was dead. Today, 107 years later, the debris is gone, the damage repaired or cleaned up, but you can still see the effects of the flood with a stroll through the Heppner Cemetery located on a hill above the town. On headstone after headstone, you'll find carved, with chilling insistence, the same date of death, June 14th, 1903. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. A complete catalog of about 200 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and the Facebook page and Twitter feed, too. The website's also where you'll find a full listing of sources for the story, which include works by Bob Dinauden and Ralph Friedman, and also the NOAA.gov. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. That's it for today. In coming attractions, our next episode is a Thursday special, and for this particular Thursday special, I'm going to read to you the lost chapter from my book. My book is Wicked Portland, the Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, and I was unable to fit this chapter in the book because I wrote too long. So I've published it on the internet instead, and I'm going to read it to you tomorrow. It's the story of the temperance riots in Portland in 1874. Temperance riots, not exactly what you expect. It's a wonderful story. A group of hymn-singing, prayer-praying Victorian ladies in their Sunday best, going from bar to bar and praying for the drinkers there. They squared off with one particular bartender who decided he was going to fight back, and, hilarity ensued, I guess you could say. I'll have that for you after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.